Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to Wrestle Culture. Come and get your wrestling bags. They're on up until December. Heavy duty wrestling bags. They're long and black and slender. I'm Adam Wilmore from What Culture, joined by Phil James and Michael Hamlet from What Talk all going on in wrestling this week. Before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Hamlet. I thought that was rather apt, an homage to the wonderful Phoenix Knights on the back of... I don't want to make light of the firings, but it's preposterous, isn't it, Hamlet, that we found out that Mickey James has been sent all of her stuff. This loyal WWE performer, sensational performer, in my opinion, gets sent her stuff. And she's not the only one in a bloody black bin bag. Now, I will clarify this and say, before we get into any hot water, any trouble here, Mark Carano has been fired. But John Laurinaitis is the one pointing the finger at Mark Carano. So there's no official word as to whether that is, you know, the actual state of affairs. But regardless of whoever it is in WWE, my word, what are they thinking, Hamlet?
I mean, it is quite apt because you're a piece of trash expecting me to be able to segue from popping at your Phoenix Knights song to offering some serious analysis on the back. Not even what I signed up for when I came off the subs bench for this. It's a surprise and not a shock. You know, it's both of those things, isn't it? It's WWE's man and indeed woman management over the years has failed in numerous ways. And this is just one to add to the list. I think it was an interesting and quite unique exercise in optics management from a company that almost never acknowledges anything for the likes of Stephanie McMahon and Triple H to tweet. And the people, I assume, John Laurinaitis pays to control his account, like passing the same sort of comment. They never normally go near this with a 20-foot pole, and yet for whatever reason they've just thought this is the right time to hang somebody out to dry from it. As you say, like, they're, you know, it'll all come out in the wash eventually, like everything about John Laurinaitis' original tenure did. It's not like there's a book that, I don't know, might still be available on shop.whatculture.com that explains what a catastrophe John Laurinaitis was in that role. There's a cheap plug for my fellow Dadley. Like, It's happening again. Like, it's happening again. And we're so soon at this role. It could be Mark Carano. It could be Laurinaitis. But it is WWE. Try not to get sort of like washed. And this is to anybody listening. Try not to get like swept away in this as a single incident thing when it's really, it just sort of like it's reflective of what we already know and often speculate about how this company does business. It might be one of Vince McMahon's best creative lies that WWE is this magnificently run empire. And this is like a shining example of how it isn't.
Best of luck in your future bin devers. Yeah, I guess that...
Phil, what's your serious view on this now that I've just hit another...
But Phil, like, it, obviously, bad enough, if this had just happened to one person with Mickey James. But I think Lillian Goss, not Lillian Garcia. What's the name I'm looking for here?
Gillian Hall.
Gillian Hall, thank you. Gillian Hall's tweeted something along those lines, and you know, others have said this has happened to them. And even some people, even when their stuff is shoved in a black bin bag, has been sent to the wrong person. I mean, it gets worse and worse, this, doesn't it?
It's utterly ridiculous. And the fact that it's happened before is just so much worse. It's just the sort of visual metaphor of the whole thing, of it's like some kind of satirical comedy show doing a skit about how WWE treats people, but it's actually how WWE treats people. It's, yeah, it's like you couldn't write that stuff. It's just so bad. I guess they've done the right thing coming out of it, I guess, is one thing you can say, like very publicly apologized for it and things with like Triple H and Stephanie, but it's never, ever should have happened in the first place.
Well, the only thing that wouldn't really surprise me now is if as part of their Q1 financials, they were like, we've saved loads of money. We've earned loads, of course, because of a Peacock deal. We've sacked loads of people we didn't need to sack. And we didn't have to buy as many cardboard boxes because we got a group deal on some bloody bin bags. So that was good.
Putting over their own like internal green policy as the most futuristic in all of like major business or something like that.
More sort of firings fall out this week as well, Phil, and the real revelation, I suppose, that quite a lot of the people who were sacked were rather unhappy with their booking. And Kalisto was sat there saying, sorry, why am I still a part of Lucha House Party? I thought we split. And they're like, no, you're all mates, aren't you? Unbelievable, this again.
It's almost like you can see these things coming when you have that many people unhappy backstage. It's mental. The Kalisto thing, like, what was... They broke up the Lucha House Party again. Like, there's so many of this thing that's just the most ridiculous thing is that loads of them were in tag teams that were as successful as you can be as a WWE tag team, that they broke up and then had nothing for them and then fired them. Just don't break them up in the first place. You're desperate for tag teams. And the Lucha House Party thing, they broke them up and then Kalisto just appeared randomly in backstage segments on SmackDown as almost like a bit character in some behind the scenes of other people's skits. I don't understand it.
It just seems like it was like, right, it'll go your separate ways. And then I think they had some sort of spot, if I remember rightly, in the Battle Royal before WrestleMania. It's like, all the Lucha guys doing Lucha things together. I'm like, I thought they aren't friends anymore. Obviously, like Lince Dorado, Grand Metal League, whatever. But I just, it gets worse. Like I said on the news today, Hamflet, like, think about all the goodwill they had off coming off the back of WrestleMania 37. And we're, 2 weeks on? And it's worse than it was going into WrestleMania.
It's the South Park meme, isn't it? And it's gone. Like, they're the victims of, I mean, they're the victims of nothing, clearly. But, like, in terms of, like, our coverage of it and our perception of the company, like, they're the victims of their own doing. Like, they make up the rules as they go along. And then when it doesn't suit their narrative, they change them. Triple H this week said, there's some imaginary war, a war that you started with AEW. And now NXT can just focus on being NXT. And anyway, it's like Vince said 20 years ago, Raw's competing with King of the Hill and Sopranos. It's not competing with WCW. NXT's competing with all your favorite television shows. It's on a Tuesday night at prime time. Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not, because then you wouldn't have this Kalisto situation, wouldn't you? Like, take a major network show, like relationships with friends. Like, imagine just like 1 week, Ross and Rachel aren't together. And then all the viewers are like, hang on, like, you just made me invest like 2 years to watch this. And they're like, no, we didn't. And then they sack Jennifer Aniston. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Ross was actually going out with Phoebe the whole time. You've not been watching. Sounds to me like you're getting some imaginary storylines in your head. Sorry we didn't satisfy your whims, friends, fans. Like, they just make it up as they go along, and they find the narrative that suits them that week. As I say about their bin bag apologies, it's just, we cannot believe that a former member of our roster has been treated this way. Well, you can't believe about the last 30 years of history then. Mm. Like, where are the tweets for every other wrestler's maltreatment over the past, like several decades? It doesn't exist. They just, honestly, like, it's... Much of their like corporate policies are probably written on the back of a cigarette packet, and then that one's thrown away into a bin bag, and then they get a new one.
I feel like what we're talking about here for, you know, 10 or so minutes, Phil, was summed up perfectly by that gif that CM Punk responded to Triple H with, the like, are you sure about that?
yeah, it's just happened too many times for them to still have goodwill for these things and like see the benefit of the doubt or whatever it is. It's just one thing after another. And it's, when does it end? It's like you're only just thinking like maybe we're just scratching the surface of this kind of stuff that goes on. Like what else could, if you deep delve deep into the sort of backstory and dark history of WWE, what other stuff have they done and just not been called out on yet?
WrestleMania 37 or like a show that you like is basically just like a VR headset. You put something on for a couple of hours and you're like, I quite enjoy this version of WWE. And then the show finishes, you take the headset off and you're like, oh, yeah, it's this. Like, I had a VR headset every time, like, Bayley and Sasha were on television last year. And then, oh, we're on to the next match now, right? Off come the shades. Here we go. More of this garbage. Like, that's it. You have to sort of choose the bits that almost don't feel of the real world before you get back to the very normal WWE doing very normal WWE things.
I love the idea of the way they book WWE being replicated in Friends. So like the opening credits, instead of Jennifer Aniston the week after that happened, they're like, with Joey, Ross, Gunther. Everyone likes Gunther, right? Look, it's Gunther, it's Gunther, it's the Gunther show.
No one told you life was going to be this way because we literally don't tell any stories anymore.
Oh, I kind of want to see what would happen to other shows if they were booked by WWE.
As we know from, like...
Every show would start with a five-minute monologue.
Well, as we know from, like, the Twitter super fans of WWE, like, there'd be no sense of context because they obviously haven't got any friends. Nobody's allowed to get along on WWE television. It's just like, the whole point of... The whole premise of Friends is, yeah, but can they coexist?
Yeah, that's the will they, won't they, of, like, Moonlight or whatever it was.
Can they coexist? Well, can they coexist? Can they coexist?
Hey, there'd be plenty of wedding episodes to pop up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, very good point. And then, like, who shot Phil? Who cares? He can't die. Yeah, Phil Nicol is kind of the fiend of Albert Square, really, isn't he, when you think about it?
I love that, Fiend Mitchell.
Do you know, I randomly stumbled into it. This has gone completely off on a tangent already, and it's all my fault. Do you know he's shagging Cat now in EastEnders? They're just going on a bloody roundabout on that show. Shag her, shag them, do this, do whatever.
Start again. Family.
Anyway, I'll try and salvage this track. Phil, I'm going to pass to you on this because me and Hamlet have done an entire podcast about this, which will be out tomorrow regarding the future of Daniel Bryan. Big news this week, him saying he wanted out of the main event of WrestleMania 37, him saying he had that sort of weird, odd detachment being involved in it. And now he's talking about wanting to wrestle for other companies. Good luck with that, Bryan. Your reaction to all that news and, well, could he be All Elite? Whisper it.
I don't see it personally. I don't know why. Like, Daniel Bryan's got to that point in my head where he feels like a WWE guy now. Like, he isn't that kind of indie guy. And I think, like, judging by, like, his past year in WWE, he enjoys, I guess this might go completely against my point, but he enjoys sort of working with newer people and, like, different guys and giving them a bit of an opportunity and a good match on the main roster and things, which, I say, just goes against my point with why wouldn't he want to go to AEW and work with all the new talent there? But there's just something about him where it's, like, he's going to earn a lot of money. He'll probably go onto a lesser contract, a lesser work schedule anyway, and be a bit of a part-timer and come in and out, I imagine. And he's got his kid now, and he seems like he's got a different mindset than when he was sort of first out of WWE, when he was just utterly desperate to get back in the ring. And if he didn't do it then, which would have been surely his golden opportunity when WWE weren't clearing him to go elsewhere, then why would he do it now when he's kind of could probably have a bit of a cushy position within WWE and still have all his time off with his family and things like that? I don't know why. There's just something about it. I don't see it happening now.
And I love the eternal optimism that he had, Hamlet. I read today, I think he said he would like, oh, I'd like to work with Jonathan Gresham and Jungle Boy and stuff. And I was like, yeah, unless they come to WWE, that ain't going to be happening, mate.
Well, I mean, we obviously go long form on the podcast that's going to drop. But yeah, like he's got what's very, very sort of, I don't know, like I get what connects so many people to Daniel Bryan is that he's always had this energy that sort of exists outside of WWE. Even when he's on screen in WWE, he feels a bit of an alien. Like he doesn't exist in their universe. He just happens to somehow wrestle in it with satisfaction. Those names he lists tend to always be outside of the bubble, which I think is by design, because he just has such job security and safety to know that he can say any name he wants and they don't have to. Like we joked about it yesterday, but like Daniel Bryan has dreams of wrestling new guys. Vince McMahon's solution, draft him a Raw. You know, that's not, those aren't the people that Daniel Bryan's talking about. So yeah, I don't know. I think like, I've changed on this every day. I think I changed in the middle of the podcast we did. I get Phil's point. It's a really tough one to visualize in this recent era of being able to visualize so many wrestlers next to that so-and-so is all elite graphic that we've kind of grown accustomed to. Bryan's never been one of those ones. And I don't know what that is. It's just a gut feeling, I guess. But it's never say never. It's wrestling. And I can already hear the bin bag being prepared with all those like unused no t-shirts from 2014 getting tossed in as we speak.
A hemp bin bag, at least. At very least.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Randomly, did we have, just as I mentioned him, did we have Gresham in WCBW for like one match? I seem to remember he's mint, if I remember rightly.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's like part of some PCK stuff. I'm gonna Google this.
Yeah, I can't remember what he did. We had. Still boggles my mind when you go back through who we actually had, and it's like, oh yeah, and then oh there, oh yeah, this guy, and oh yeah, this guy, oh yeah, Angle, oh yeah, Cody, oh yeah, Rey Mysterio. What is this? Well,
like it's great because we can still name about 50% of the wrestlers too.
Yes, yeah, he tagged with Chris Brooks, which is great.
There you go.
In a valiant defeat to Aussie Open for the tag team titles. Yeah, but like
he's doing great in DDT these days, Chris Brooks.
Like you say, did the thing this week on our YouTube channel, looking back at, you know, stuff that we've done for 2 million subscribers. Thanks once again for everyone for helping us hit that incredible milestone. And yeah, I look back on one of the first videos I did advertising a WCPW show and was like, oh yeah, we had the Young Bucks versus Bloody War Machine. That was a thing that happened. Jesus. Joe Hendry versus Will Ospreay for the world title. Just incredible to think about looking back on that. But if Daniel Bryan does go Michael Hamflett, plenty more people who could fill that spot, because even more celebrity wrestlers are being discussed now. Adebayo Akinfenwa, who's just a giant of English lower league football, plays for Wycombe Wanderers, just an absolute beast. He has been linked with WWE and... former UFC champion, two-weight world champion, if I'm not mistaken, in fact, Henry Cejudo has been linked to it, which, you know, with the success of crossover athletes like Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, and I could list many, many more, of course, would make a lot of sense. What do you reckon about this? Just anyone could have a bloody go now, can't they?
Massively into it. Like everything we were just talking about before, the nothing matters, there's no rules principle, means that everyone gets a turn has never felt more logical. This idea that you can like grab a ticket, like when you're waiting for meat at a deli and it just turns out that the ticket's got a WWE contract on it, sort of ideally suited to their content production era. Like you say, it's great when you think of the, like, I love the idea of somebody with a UFC background coming. And I say UFC specifically because I don't have a great knowledge of MMA. But what I do know about UFC is obviously that promotionally borrowed a lot from WWE when it really started, like breaking out with this big competition for WWE with the Ultimate Fighter in what, 2005, that sort of period of time. Yeah. Like they put video package together and did promos that just mirrored the way that pro wrestling sold matches and transposed onto selling fights. So when you talk about people with that background in UFC, like Ronda Rousey and like Bad Bunny, that have made just a massive success of themselves in WWE, it's a perfect fit. I think there's enough evidence to suggest, Cain Velasquez aside, that there's a sort of a fairly straightforward transference of skills from one thing to another if people are interested in doing all the work, whether that be promo classes, taking bumps, whatever what they consider the weak parts of their game, I guess. It can be rounded off into a very neat sort of pro wrestling package. It extends out to other sports, as we've seen with Anthony Ogogo in the last couple of weeks in EW. Booking, like generally speaking, booking will probably want to favour the outside involvement because you want them like get the best out of your money. They tend to not come cheap. So you want, they're going to try and like maximise your investment. So the booking will always look after them, which once upon a time would have annoyed the absolute out of me because I'd, have that like purist view of like, well, what about my Dolph Ziggler's and the like? But it's just, they know what they're all there for now. Like if Ricochet is deeply unhappy with his lot, he'd leave. You know, he'd see out the remainder of his contract. He would go, he'd light up a couple of shoot interviews, and then he'd be a massive star in New Japan again or AEW or whatever. Like the wrestlers there, as much as we can and sometimes do cry for them, they know what they're in for by signing WWE deals. And they know that every now and then a rapper or a singer or an MMA star or whomever is going to rock up and, like, as Seth Rollins would say, take food off their table, because they're just, they're of a greater interest to Vince McMahon that week.
There is a reason, Phil, why no matter what's going on in his life, whenever the Royal Rumble rolls around, now near the bottom of the list with your Grant Holtz or your Vince McMahons or whoever it may be, Conor McGregor is perennially on there because of the reason that was laid out.
Yeah, he's that name's always been around, especially with the sort of personality side of it as well, and like the legit athlete side. He's almost like a natural fit for WWE.
Yeah.
That you just wonder how this hasn't already happened at some point. But I mean, we all know the ultimate dream one here is, we already know he can cut a promo. We already know he's a wrestling fan. We already know that he has a bit of beef with WWE as well. When are we finally going to get that dream match between John Cena and John Oliver?
Yes, on their birthday today.
That's what I want to know. Exactly. That's what I want to know.
God. I watched a great interview with Cena. I think it was with Stephen Colbert a few weeks ago. And I just miss him so bloody much, because he was you know, joking about him and John Oliver and the Suicide Squad stuff. And I just thought, you know, I had a pop at you back in the day, but God damn, do I miss you right about now, John Cena. So yeah, hopefully we'll get him back. Although the bright lights of Hollywood, Hamlet, we said, don't go. And then he left.
Again. Yeah. I want Cena to come back and work that program with somebody else to foreshadow who's going to be the next one to leave. Like, I'm going to drag him again. Like, imagine if Dolph Ziggler got that, like, thing. Like, you said that you'd never leave WWE and you left and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he's thinking, oh, great, now my stand-up career is finally going to take off. And then there's, like, the cycle ends there. There's nobody to do that angle with Dolph Ziggler in 10 years because he hasn't left. He's still there. Still a dirty dog on their 18th run as tag team champion.
You said you'd never leave, and then Stand Up New York came calling, and you left again. One final thing I want to talk to you about, Phil. This story is just astonishing. Impact Wrestling Executive Vice President Scott D'Amore invoking the name of TNA. I realize Impact and TNA are the same thing, but I think nowadays as Impact is like, it's nice, good promotion with all, you know, with this great roster of talent that, you know, one of those things that people often say, oh, you're kind of sleeping on Impact. There's all this great stuff. It's obviously got Impact Wrestling Rebellion this Sunday. You got Omega versus Rich One title for title. But I tell you what, the rumors of a return of TNA got me thinking about some of our favorite, best, worst TNA moments. What do you reckon to this? And what are some of your questionable memories of those three letters?
There's a lot of questionable memories of those three letters. They've kind of been not, I don't know whether teasing it or whether something was like foreshadowing it slightly with recently, because they had just Moose randomly bring back the TNA World Heavyweight title and claim it as his own. And now like Rich Swann's a kind of odd double champion from after he beat Moose, and now he's still carrying around the TNA World Championship and the Impact World Championship. And I guess, I don't know if he's going to give both of those belts to Kenny Omega at the weekend or just the one, I'm not entirely sure. Or whether the whole point of this TNA return is that Kenny Omega takes the Impact title and then like, oh, what do we do now? Oh, well, we've still got this TNA title. And then they can carry on with that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, like you say, Impact's one of those sleeper shows that like now it's just, I kind of have a lot of respect for it because it just does what it wants to do and kind of gets on with it. And it's really weird when you watch it. Like, there's really odd segments. Like, there's been a long-standing skit about Johnny Swinger's casino, and they've not explained where it's come from. It's just this dude running a casino from a dressing room, and it makes no sense whatsoever. But they just kind of stick to it and stick with the guns and go for it. It's like the who shot what's-his-face storyline, that they're just like, oh, well, we'll just kill someone and then bring him back to life. and it's fine because it's just the story. It's like they're unapologetically ridiculous with their stories, and I kind of like kind of into it. But yeah, I mean, you've got to bring up Jeff Hardy if you're going for worst TNA moments ever.
Oh,
versus Sting at Victory Road. But it's kind of, when you're looking for worst TNA moments, it's kind of difficult. It's Sophie's choice to actually pick one. Like all the entire Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff era, like that entire thing is surely one big moment. I guess if you're going to good moments, you've got to go right back to the beginning and the just general excitement over the sort of new form and new way of doing it, where they were just building pay-per-view, 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 pay-per-view before they actually got their TV.
Bonkers is that I still can't get over it. We talked about
Raw review. Still a mad thing.
Oh.
But to just put a shine a light on guys like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, and some of the matches that came out of it were absolutely amazing in the early days, but it's had a hell of a rocky road as TNA, and it's been going for a hell of a long time now, and it just refuses to die. It's such a weird promotion.
It's such a surreal thing to look back on as well, Hamlet, because like Phil alluded to there, it was like you obviously think of Joe, Daniels and Styles just putting out these, you know, match of the year contenders, almost in spite of the show that they're on.
Yeah, often TNA as a product, and like I would include some of Impact Wrestling in this. By the way, I just love how TNA will always be in the DNA of Impact Wrestling. In Phil's amazing summary of who shot what's his face, I think that sums up like his inability to promote brilliantly, because we were absolutely all talking about that angle, and already I also, without Googling in front of me now, can't remember. I think it was Johnny Bravo, but I could be wrong about that.
It was Johnny Bravo. Yeah,
like, but that's such a TNA. Like, there'll always be TNA in Impact Wrestling, regardless of the branding, because that kind of speaks to how everybody's always felt about it. It's always got in the way of itself. The X Division was awesome, but it had like loads of other like disastrous elements to the show happening like in sync with it. When they sort of evoke TNA, the letters, and you're allowed even for a split second, as in Phil's book in there, like, what if the TNA title suddenly means that they have to revert to TNA for a bit until they can get the Impact belt back? That's a bit like NXT giving me In Your House, but like NXT did it for one night and built a set. Like Impact could potentially like revert to TNA for a month or something. The whole promotion has to go back to just this chaos energy of the old ways. It couldn't ever... What TNA did, the original TNA, it never once, when you look back, was ever remotely a number two, but always like pretended like it was.
Mm.
And I've got like a huge admiration for how they fooled the world for so long. Like when Hogan and Bischoff came in 2010 and tanked the entire thing, their sales pitch was, you're so close, you just need us. And it was like, in reality, it was like, they're really far away and you've just widened the gap. But for a while
they've tried so many things that, you know, surely like going into that, this isn't going to work. Like Vince Russo, like, come on. Yeah, I think he's proved long enough this isn't going to work.
Perception wise it's astonishing how, like, I attended TNA house shows and you're in this like full crowd getting the gift of an AJ Styles match, which you wouldn't get otherwise, or the gift of a Jeff Jarrett international appearance, which you never got otherwise. And you, like, and the crowd are going mad and you're like, this is for real, this is an alternative. And then you look at the attendances elsewhere in the world and it's like 20 people or everybody for free at the Impact Zone. Like the UK was a hotspot because we could watch it for free on our like free-to-air channels in the UK. Like I've got like bucket loads of happy TNA memories from like attending shows live, from just like watching on the television. I remember like the Kings of Wrestling with like Elvis-suited Jeff Jarrett, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. I remember like Main Event Mafia with three-piece suited Kurt Angle, Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash. I remember Paparazzi Productions with the Motor City Machine Guns and Kevin Nash. I remember Dr. Nash. I can't remember who did that one. Like I've just got so much joy in my heart when I go through this Rolodex of TNA memories that it's almost as if you tried it now, especially while we're still an empty arena, and Christ, Impact's arena is the emptiest of them all. God, the ambience is weird.
Yes.
Like, I almost think like TNA could make it work. I think I'd watch TNA and I'd start to think, oh, that's AEW going into third. I think WWE would be like, make the ring like eight-sided or something, just to sort of differentiate slightly from the six-sided one, and just go like balls to the wall with it. Get Vince Russo back out. Start having him introduce his people with, you pieces of... Oh, there's nobody here. It's whoever. It's AC Romero. And just, you know, off to the races.
We got the chance to review Sex in TNA on the Raw review this week. And check that out. And yeah, as much as I want to sit here and talk about, you know, like you say, Bischoff and Hogan, and of course Russo and the god awful storylines and reverse battle royals and things like that, I also is perfectly reflective of almost the wrestling industry as a whole. The Claire Lynch storyline, which is obviously terrible, this is awful, but the fact that the TNA fans went to the extent of finding the actress who played Claire Lynch and was like, "You bitch, what are you doing?" And it's like, all right, calm down, guys. She plays like Olive Oil or something around the corner. Just pump the brakes a little bit.
How great is that, by the way, as well? They don't bother with like a casting call. Like one of them just goes into the park and goes, you'll do. Olive Oil over there. You want to play a pregnant drug addict? We'll give you 6 weeks' wages.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, before we get to the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, I've sort of buried the lead here, Michael Hanfler. It is, of course, SmackDown tonight. And Phil Chambers, as one half of the SmackDown review, you must be so excited about getting the biggest talent on your show, the biggest WWE star in decades to have a paper plate on his face. Slapjack, how are you feeling about tonight? The big debut of him taking the title off Roman Reigns then.
Finally, Smackjack comes back to SmackDown. It's been a long time. They were there with their chainsaws. I remember those days, and now they're finally coming back. It's, yeah. Get your raw stink off my SmackDown, is what I say to this. I don't know. I don't care. Maybe they'll take his paper plate off and he'll be amazing.
No.
You never know.
No. Yeah, I've just thought of it then as you were talking. Show opens tonight. Roman Reigns, burner, comes out. I get very excited. Walks down to the ring. Everyone's like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, is Edge going to come back? Is Daniel Bryan going to come back? Are we going to follow up on what happened with Cesaro last week? Bollocks to all that. Postman Pierce comes out and he says, Roman Reigns, you know what you are? You're a paper champion. And for a paper champion, I got the perfect guy. Here comes Slapjack.
Hey, head of the table. We're going to take food off your table and put it on this paper plate. It's Slapjack. Slapjack.
Also, I realised as well, I thought of this just the other day. On they're trying to make Raw a better show. They're like, okay, all we need to do is, get that spirit of SmackDown that they've got. Like, look how everyone receives SmackDown. Everyone thinks Raw's crap. We want that spirit. We want that spirit. We want the, you know, are you ready for a good time? They've sent the email. They've missed the D off. And they go, goo time? Oh, bollocks, we need more goo. Oh, no. And that's why they did more stupid nonsense with Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman and green goo and dungeon bollocks like that. Sweet Jesus. Right, anyway, enough of all that. It's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by CJ. If you want your name associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling. Leave us a 5-star review on there. And CJ has done just that, writing, "Hello, gentlemen. My name is CJ. I just want to say thank you for the content on the What Culture podcast. Listening to you guys take the piss out of WWE's stupid booking decisions is hilarious. You go into such great detail describing a match, whether you like it or you don't. I'll be taking a break from Raw due to the terrible show and the unfortunate spring cleaning this dreadful company has done. But still, cheers, lads." Thank you for that, CJ. And I thought I'd do a little quiz this week all about WWE firings. Usual rules apply. 10 questions, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you. But most importantly, just for fun. I've been practicing that this week after I dropped a word I shouldn't drop last week, Phil. So.
What's he done, Phil?
You'll have to go back to the podcast and have a lesson.
Yeah. I went to say just for fun, and I said a word that sounds like fun, but you can't say on podcasts.
Oh, dear.
It had been a long old week, and I went back and I listened back. I was like, no, if someone listens to that, that's getting complained straight to AKS. But maybe that's why they played all of our bloody podcast this week. No, I'm joking. That should be, by the way. Right, 10 questions all about WWE firings. Gents, here we go. Start off nice and easy. Question number one. Daniel Bryan was briefly fired from WWE for choking Justin Roberts with what?
Phil.
I think that was Phil just.
Oh, is tie.
His tie is correct. Do you know how confident I was that you would have jumped in before I gave you the options there? My options were a belt, his tie, TV cable, or just the word hemp, because I thought, well, I'll jump in. Okay, 1-0 to Phil. Question two. On what special day was CM Punk officially...
Phil.
That was his wedding day, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Again, knew you were going to jump in there because the options were going to be his birthday, Christmas Day, his wedding day, or 420.
you could have Bindi.
Okay, question three. What words allegedly got Brad Maddox fired? Was it cax, wanker, dickhead, or pricks?
Ooh. Phil.
Oh, go on, Phil.
I'm going to go with pricks.
Pricks is correct.
Well done.
I think he cut some promo. I think it was just a house show as well. Or at the very least, it wasn't on telly. And he called the crowd cocky pricks. And they went, hey, buddy, we're going to have to let you go. What? That's just one of Vince's little no-nos, basically. Right, 2-1 to Phil. Question four. Charlie and Jackie Haas were fired when they returned from their honeymoon. But where on their honeymoon did they go?
Ooh.
Was it? By the way, the options for this, I just Googled nice places to go on honeymoon. So don't try to be like backwards psychology here. Where did they go? Was it the West Indies, Mexico, Australia, or Europe?
Pamphlet. Mexico.
It's not Mexico.
Ooh, that's the one I would have said. What were the other ones?
The West Indies, Australia, or Europe?
Ooh. I'm going to go with this one just because I got 50 Bentleys in the West Indies.
It is the West
Indies. Hey! Thanks, Rock.
Question.
I'd like to pretend it doesn't matter, but I'm devastated by that.
Question five. Who was fired from WWE in the shortest time? Public Enemy, Mr. Perfect, Dean Douglas, or Buff Bagwell?
Hamflet. It's got to be Buff the Stuff. It's a week.
Yeah, sure.
1 week. It was Buff Bagwell.
Poor Buff didn't have the stuff.
His mom rang in sick for him, didn't she?
I just want to find out the name. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, yeah. Buff the Stuff lasted a week. Whereas Aloysia, is that right?
Aloysia from NXT season 3, yeah.
0 days! She's a giant in this photo, by the way, compared to... Well, I mean, she's next to AJ Lee, I think, so... Yeah. But sweet, yeah, zero. But Buff Bagwell, only a week. Okay. 3-2, halfway. Question six. John Lauren... excuse me. John Laurinaitis was fired from WWE after John Cena beat The Big Show in what match? Was it steel cage match, an I Quit match, a street fight, or a TLC match?
Pamphlet. I Quit.
It's not I Quit.
What were the other ones?
Steel cage, street fight, or TLC?
Ooh, I don't know. Kind of want to see TLC just because it sounds like a WWE thing. Put Big Show in a TLC match.
What are you going for?
Don't know. Yeah, why not? I've no idea. TLC.
It wasn't TLC. It was, in fact, a steel cage match.
Do you remember the reinforced ladders they would give Big Show? Because it's like, look, he's too fat for the rungs.
I was reading about this. I genuinely completely forgot. I remembered the whole, you know, John Laurinaitis, John Cena main event ahead of... Was that the main event of Punk Bryan?
Yeah. Over the limit, that was, isn't it? Yeah.
I remember that, and then they brought Big Show coming back. I completely forgot about all this. And apparently the next night, he booked a 3-on-1 match. John Laurinaitis, Big Show, and Otunga are drinking the bloody coffee against John Cena. And even Show and Otunga went, nah, bollocks to this, and just walked out and just left him to get his ass handed to him by John Cena. Right, question seven, I believe. Yes. What year was Matt Hardy fired after exposing Edge and Lee?
2005, bless him.
That's what I was going to say.
Well remembered. Exposing Edge and Lee is a fair. It was 2005.
Went to a house show that April and the people of Newcastle were unkind to leader.
Oh, I'll bet. Oh, yeah. Right, three each with three questions to go. The infamous plane ride from hell took place after what UK pay-per-view?
Pamphlet. Insurrection 2002.
You got the year right. It was Insurrection. Oh, the stories of that from that place. It's just like stories on top of stories on top. It's like, so yeah, Brock Lesnar and Mr. Perfect nearly opened a bloody plane door. And Ric Flair was walking around, his robe was open, and Goldberg was serenading people and all this. It's like, sweet. Is that also, didn't X-Pac do something as well on that flight?
He cut off Michael Hayes' mullet and they pinned it on a board backstage at the next TV taping. Michael Hayes is asleep. There's a great aside as well where like apparently like Steve Austin's up in first class, like either asleep or just ignoring it or whatever. And I love the idea of him like getting woken up and just like going to like one of the air stewards like, not having a word in coach, please.
Also, I didn't think I could love X-Pac more, but I didn't realise that's what happened. And I do. Sure, yeah. Man, what a guy.
He's great.
That's going to be his 8th Hall of Fame induction. Everyone on the plane ride from hell! right, question 9. Emma was briefly fired by WWE for, get this, accidentally shoplifting an iPad case that she forgot to scan at a self-checkout. She was immediately...
I remember that.
But the question is, lads, how much did that iPad case cost? Was it $21, $41, $61, or $81?
Pamphlet. Go middle for diddle and we'll say $41.
It wasn't $41.
How much can you actually spend on an iPad case? Let's go with $21.
It is $21, which means 4 each. We go to the final question. But as always,
I expected it to be this close going into the last one against Hamlet.
This is where Wilborn tells us, I'm sorry to report, guys, that the loser of this quiz actually gets fired. I've got both your possessions here in bin bags.
Final question is all about Mickie James's firing in 2010, aside from the alleged justification of her weight, which is just bollocks, by the way. I won't get into more about that. But what was the other reason Mickie James was allegedly fired in 2010? Is it because she was late for the bus the talent bus? Is it because she forgot a backstage reporter's name? Is it because she botched a move and injured someone? Or is it because she swore on live TV?
Phil. No idea, but I'm going to go with the bus.
It is! She was late for the bus. What?
I vaguely remember something like that. I didn't realize it was her, though.
What a load of... Anyway.
Yeah.
We should have fired Keith Lee from WCPW, then.
Yes, exactly. Neither of them are justifications for firing anyone, but WWE said they're like, okay, there's two half reasons, put them together. Out you go, Mickey. Unbelievable. But yes, Phil, you are right. Unfortunately, Michael Hamsler, you're going to have to take, I'm going to fire you for at least 2 days next week. How does that sound?
Look, wait, are you telling me that I can't review Raw on Tuesday?
I am unfortunately letting you know that you're not going to be back until the NXT review on Wednesday in the AEW Dynamite preview.
Well, I was going to file a tribunal before you told me that, but we're all good. We're fine.
You're going to have to find something to do for 4 days over this long weekend I'm punishing you with.
Expect to hear from my solicitors of my rightful dismissal.
But once again, thank you to CJ for having their name associated with this hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. If you want your name associated with next week's, subscribe to What Cult Wrestling and leave us a 5-star review on there. And let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed today on Twitter at What Culture WWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me.
Sorry. Yeah, and follow Adam Wilborn, please. Sorry, I'm not used to this. I apologize.
It's fine. At Adam Wilborn, follow us all at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from. And make sure you join us tomorrow, Phil, on our YouTube channel for a What Culture Bloody Good Quiz.
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Join us for that. It's well worth checking out. That'll be on there as part of our 2 million subscribers celebration, of course. And once again, thank you so much for helping us hit that milestone. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, as I said, including the SmackDown review with Phil and Gareth tomorrow. Myself and Hamflett talking more about Daniel Bryan's WWE future. That podcast will be out on Saturday. And on Sunday, myself and Sidge are going to sit down and talk all things AEW blood and guts. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil Chambers, to Michael Hamflett, to you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.